Okay, today we plan to go through John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Now, in today's passage, it has to do with serving. Jesus serves by washing their feet. And this passage sort of challenges us to be like him and to learn how to do that. So background for this passage, it's the day of Jesus' arrest. It's his Last Supper, the final evening with his disciples. It looks like that's what's happening here at this time. He's going to be arrested this evening, and he's going to go to the cross tomorrow. So this is his final time with the disciples who are so dear to him as far as in his heart. This is his final time prior to the cross. And so really, really special time. He's pouring his heart into them. Now, as per Luke chapter 22, an argument has broken out among the disciples. Here, in the context of the supper, an argument's broken out, like, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest disciple? Because they know Jesus is going to do something special. They know somehow his glory is coming, but they don't really know what's happening. They're probably still thinking that he's going to sort of rule on earth and not really sure what's going on. But they know that, boy, something's going to happen. Jesus already said he's going away. He's said many things as far as a transition coming up. He's told them clearly that he's going to die. They don't fully believe him, apparently. And so they've argued about who's the greatest. And so this passage is in the context of that. Jesus is saying, you want to be great? I'll show you greatness. And that's when he takes the position of a servant and teaches them how to serve. So please stand. We're going to pray and read this, the first five verses of this. Father, I thank you for this passage, and I pray that you'd teach us how to serve and what it means to serve. And Lord, just show us clearly who you are. You are Lord, your teacher, your King of Kings, and yet you're also a servant, and you came to serve, and yet what an amazing thing. And so I pray, Father, that we'd also follow your example. So teach us about this, Lord. We thank you and pray for clarity of thought as we go through this passage together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first five verses of John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Please be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful passage. So this passage is all about Jesus' washing. And we'll see servanthood in the context of his washing. So Jesus' washing, five highlights. Highlight number one, Jesus' washing is rooted in love. Here it's verse 1. It's before the feast of the Passover. Jesus knows his hour has come. He should depart. He'll be departing from this world. He's going to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Very interesting phrase. So it's before the Passover feast. The Passover feast probably celebrated by most Jews on Friday. The Passover lamb would be slain, or the Passover lambs would be slain on Friday. And then the meal comes that night. Jesus will be slain on Friday. He'll go to the cross the next day. And that will be the ultimate, he'll be the ultimate Passover lamb. So it's like, well, just a second, how did that work as far as it's a Passover meal here, the Last Supper, and yet the Passover is the next day? Well, there's a difference between the Galilean Jews and the Jerusalem Jews, the southern Jews, the Jerusalem Jews, and the Galilean Jews, the way they reckoned dayness, sunrise to sunrise versus sunset to sunset. Jesus was from Galilee, and his disciples were, I think, for the most part, from Galilee also, if not all. And maybe one of them wasn't, I don't know. But they would celebrate, the Galilean Jews would celebrate the Passover on Thursday. And so this was a Passover meal for Jesus and his disciples. The Jerusalem Jews would celebrate Passover on Friday. And so that's why Jesus could celebrate the Passover meal and then also be the Passover lamb for the Passover that would be celebrated in Jerusalem, which is where they were at that time, that next day. So his hour has come, his hour of suffering, hour of departure from this world. He's going to a better place, a much better place. Let's keep that in mind if we get, or when we get to the end of our lives, as far as we're going to a better place. If we're in Christ, we're going to a much better place with no suffering, with bodies that are totally restored. And so it could help us to sort of handle the difficulties we're going through. It says he's loved his own, his followers, particularly his disciples. And it says he loved them to the end of verse 1. That means to the fullest extent, to the uttermost. Fullest extent, uttermost. So Jesus is going to wash their feet, which is an amazing display of love. He's loving them to the end. If you had one final day with your loved ones prior to going away, how would you spend that day? What would you say to those you love? And so this is it. I mean, this passage and the next big section of John, it's all about what he is sharing and pouring his life into the disciples. His public ministry has come to an end, and now he's pouring his life into his disciples. So that brings us to highlight number two. Highlight number one was it's rooted in love. His washing is rooted in love. Highlight number two is washing is voluntary. It's voluntary. Verses 2 to 5. We already read through it, but supper, it's being ended, or one translation says the evening meal is being served. The devil has put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Let's not let the devil put anything into our hearts. He doesn't have good in mind. He doesn't have God's glory in mind. Let's allow God the Father to place the Word of God into our hearts. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, so he knows that, and that he had come from God and was going to God. So, boy, Jesus knows that I'm going to go to the cross tomorrow. I'm going to get arrested tonight. But I've been given everything by the Father. And remember what he said when he came up from the tomb and they saw him again. He said, all authority has been given to me. So he's been given everything by the Father. And he's come from God and he's going to God. And that's real important for us to keep that in mind when we're going through a time of suffering, some kind of difficulty. It's like, Lord, you've given me everything I need. And I've come from you. I'm a believer in Christ. If someone's a believer in Jesus Christ, they say, I've come from you. I've come from God. Because spiritually, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And I'm going back to you after I give up the tent of this body and this life, this temporary life comes to an end. I am going to be with you. And so that's my future. So that gives me hope at this time. It gives me strength at this time. And so verse 4, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. So he rises, he lays his garments aside, he takes a towel, he girds himself. To gird is to encircle or to surround. And one definition says it's to prepare for action. And so you gird yourself like girding for war. And for him, he's girding for service. That's what he's going to do. He's going to gird for service. Verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he's pouring water, he's beginning to wash, and then he's wiping the feet dry. This is the work of the lowest servant, the lowliest of people. If there be multiple servants in a household, the servant at the bottom, lowest rank, that's the person who would be washing the feet of those who come in. So this is to Jesus is lowering himself, and so he's washing dirty feet. In that culture, in that region, you have sandals, and it's a dusty, dirty area, And so you walk somewhere and your feet are dirty. And so he is washing their feet, and he's doing it voluntarily. He's choosing to do it. He's not compelled, as far as this is not an obsessive kind of thing. He's not being manipulated into this. He is choosing to do it. It is voluntary what he's doing. He's choosing to become a servant. And so that's highlight number two. His washing is voluntary. Highlight number three. His washing is necessary. Verses 6 to 8. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So Peter, he's flabbergasted. You, Jesus, Lord and Savior, you wash my feet? It's unthinkable. And Jesus says, it makes no sense now, but it will. It will make sense to you, Peter. Sometimes Jesus has us do things that don't seem to make sense. He wants us to do something. It's like, that doesn't make sense. It's like what Pastor Robert was talking about as far as walking by faith. Calvary Chapel is known for being a movement where it's like, Lord, what do you want? We're wide open. We're not going to put our faith in programs. We're not going to put our faith in methodology. We're going to really look to rely on your Holy Spirit. And so there's a sense of desire to do something. It's like, well, we're going to take a step prayerfully, and you could either give us grace for another step, or you can close the door. And we're wide open to whatever you're having us do. We want to walk by faith. And so Jesus has us do at times something that makes, or things that make no sense. And it's like, Lord, I sense you want me to do such and such. I've prayed through this. I have a peace about it. And I think that's what you want. I'm going to take a step in that direction and see what you're doing. And so sometimes he has us do that. That's what he's doing with Peter. Peter says, no way. Never will you wash my feet. No way. And Jesus said, I must. I must. If you don't let me, then you have no part with me, no share, no portion, nothing. Jesus is not only giving an example of humble service, but he's teaching everybody about spiritual cleansing. We must let Jesus cleanse us of our sins. We must be washed by Jesus. There's no other way to be clean before God the Father. We must be washed by Jesus. He took care of our sins. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the Old Testament law. He alone never should have died, never should have undertaken the death penalty, but he did, and he chose to do it, and he did it in our place. And since he had no sins that he had committed, he was able to die in our place. He was able to pay for our sins. So the blood that Jesus shed, paid for our sins, cleanses us from all sin and from the stain of sin. So that's highlight number three. It's necessary, his washing. Highlight number four, it's specific. Verses 9 and 10, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. So Peter flips his position from no way will you wash my feet, no way, to, hey, wash my feet, my hands, my head, every part of me, basically, every part of me. And Jesus replies, hey, only your feet need to be washed. It's only your feet, Peter. From a natural perspective, only the feet are dirty. Again, it's a dirty, dusty region, sandals. The feet need to be cleaned. From a spiritual perspective, we get dirty as we interact with the world. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil continually bombarding us. We're in the world, and we just get dirty. You may be an executive in a corporation. You come through a meeting, it's like, whoa, everyone's feet are dirty. and or you just go around, you see billboards and other things that are like, whoa, that's just like, ooh, I shouldn't be looking at that. And just things that can get us sort of dirty. We need to be cleansed on a regular basis. So Jesus does that one-time cleansing, but also there's a ongoing cleansing kind of thing. And we need both. So we need our feet washed regularly. That's highlight number four. Jesus is washing. It's specific, very specific. Whatever is specifically dirty, that's what he takes care of. And Peter's feet were dirty, and they needed to be cleaned. For us, we may have a dirty area of our lives. It needs to be cleaned. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows what areas of our lives need to be cleaned or cleansed. So Jesus just mentioned that not all of you are clean. He said that in verse 10. So verse 11, we learn more. He says, for he knew, John says this, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So Jesus' feet are washed, or I'm sorry, Judas's feet are washed outwardly, but he's not clean inwardly. He has no part with Jesus, no share, no portion. A person can be washed outwardly, but they need to be washed inwardly for us to have a share in Christ, to know him personally. It brings us to highlight number five. Jesus is washing. It's rooted in love. It's voluntary. It's necessary. It's specific. And then number five, it serves as an example. Jesus' washing serves as an example. Verses 12 to 15, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So Jesus is saying that since I am your teacher, I'm your Lord, that means supreme in authority, and I washed your feet, you need to do the same for one another. That's what you guys need to do. I've given you an example, a pattern of humble service, and that's a pattern for you to follow, for you to put in practice, for you to pursue. Verse 16, for most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So just as a servant is not greater in authority than his master, the humble service that Jesus, our ultimate master, has displayed needs to be emulated by believers, his servants. Serving was not below Jesus. He was willing to take the form of a servant, and it need not be below us. It shouldn't be below us as well. It's like, well, I'm better than that. It's like, really? Let's serve. Let's lower ourselves, and we'll let God do the promoting. We'll let him do the lifting up. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So not only should serving be something we give ourselves to, but it actually brings us joy in the process. Blessed are you if you do them. We're blessed as we cultivate a life of humble service, as we give ourselves to the Lord and say, I'm going to show the fact that you're my Lord, I'm going to show that to you and to others, Lord, by serving you, by serving other people. All that's hand in hand. We love him and we serve him, and we show up by serving our families and our coworkers and the folks at church and the neighborhood. Whoever God leads us to serve, however that works out. And we have to be led of the Lord. That doesn't mean we do everything, but it means as the Lord gives us faith and grace to do something, we venture out in faith and do it. So Jesus puts it this way in Mark chapter 10, I'm sorry. And I need a clicker help. Mark chapter 10, thank you. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus himself, the Son of Man, he didn't come to be served. He's the Lord of Lords. And he didn't come saying, serve me, do this, do that. He didn't come and do that, but he came to serve. And to give his life as a ransom, a payment for many, those who come to faith in him. So that's what he came to do. So we need to follow his example. If he himself would give up the display of his glory, of the glories of heaven, and take on humanity and the babe in the manger and grow up, and he's a kid and then he grows up and then he gets rejected and then he gets nailed to the cross, and all of that he took on for us. He was a servant, the ultimate servant, so we too are called to do that. So, highlights regarding Jesus' washing. Need help. This was doing so well for a while. Thank you. Highlights regarding Jesus' washing. His washing is rooted in love. It's love for God, love for people. His washing, it's voluntary. It's something he's choosing to do. He's choosing to wash us and to serve in some ways as far as his disciples, and that being the pattern for us. Jesus' washing is also necessary. It's absolutely necessary that we be washed by the blood of the Lamb. No other religious leader took care of the sin problem. No one else. It's only Jesus. And Jesus' washing, it's specific. He deals with our dirty feet issues. You know, the kinds of things that get dirtied in our lives, a thought pattern or a weakness as far as a lack of character in a certain area or some other secret sin or whatever. He zeroes in on the dirty feet, and he wants to bring cleansing to those as well. And then Jesus' washing, it serves as an example. The great Lord, the King of Kings, he served, and we too are called to serve. So in reflection, here are some tips regarding effective serving and service. Next slide, please. Thank you. So some tips regarding effective serving. And of course, serving applies to the home. It applies to the church. It applies to our workplace. It applies to our families in every way, our extended families, our friendships, all of that. So effective serving, it's rooted in love. If someone's looking to be a servant, it needs to be rooted in love. Love for Jesus, love for people. If it's not rooted in love, it's not that effective, and it's not even profitable. In other words, if our serving is rooted in selfish ambition, like, I'm going to get a position around here, so I'm going to serve and do this, it's like, huh? You just serve because God wants you to serve, and you serve out of love for him and love for people. Let God take care of the position. Let God do the promoting, but don't manipulate and try to make your way and sort of connive your way into a certain position. So whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in the church or whatever, I've shared this before as far as at ATT Bell Labs, one supervisor, he got fed up with being a supervisor and he went back to technical ranks. He was one of us good guys. And he said, boy, when I was a manager, one of the most frustrating parts was I would want someone to do something. I would need them to do something. And they say, well, if I do this, will that help me get promoted? And he was like, what are you thinking? I mean, this is something needed by the organization. Don't worry about your promotion. Serve the organization. And, you know, that'll take care of itself as far as if you have a servant's heart. And so effective serving doesn't think about selfish ambition. It just does things because it's rooted in love. So it's not selfish ambition. It's not feeling compelled or obsessive or whatever. It's not, you know, it's a loving love kind of thing. Effective serving, it's also orchestrated by God. Yeah, he's the one who opens doors. He's the one who closes doors. He's the one who nudges us. The Holy Spirit has a way of nudging us and giving us a desire, waking up us at night, wake us up at night and just like, I want you to do this. And it's like, whoa, is that bad pizza or is it the Holy Spirit? And you sort of test it in prayer and get some counsel and say, Lord, I need to follow you. So effective serving, it's orchestrated by God, as opposed to being self-directed. I'm in charge of everything I do. And in this culture, you're your own leader and the person within you, you're getting to be true to that person. It's like, really? And you need to be true to Jesus who created us and who sustained us, who dealt with our sin problem. So effective serving, it's orchestrated by God. It's not self-directed and it's not manipulated by others. It is directed by God. It's like, I am serving because you want me to. And someone else may look on and say, you're being manipulated. It's like, no, I'm being directed by the Lord to do such and thing, such and such. And it's like, I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. I'm directed, it's orchestrated by God. Also, effective serving, it's reliant on the Holy Spirit. It's like, Lord, I can't do anything without your strength. Nothing. And so I need to be relying upon you, not on my own resources, not on myself or my good ideas or man's latest program and how to do something. It's like we can learn from other people at the same time. Let's not follow a formula. Walking with Jesus is not a formula. Walking with Jesus is not just a principle. Walking with Jesus, it's a person who died for us on the cross, not a principle. And so effective serving, it's reliant on the Holy Spirit. It's not self-reliant. It's like, ooh, I'm going to dig deep within. I believe in myself. It's like, I'm hearing that again and again and again. I'm about ready to throw up when I hear that next in a movie. Believe in yourself. Or I hear it by a sports team. We won the Super Bowl. We just believed in ourselves. It's like, man, you just got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe in him. And we're weak in ourselves. We need the Lord to help us. And you may have some natural talents, but when it comes to spiritual health, boy, we need the Lord. And we need to even serve the Lord with our natural talents and in every way. So reliance on the Holy Spirit. And then effective serving, it's a key. It's key to our growth. Key to our growth. If someone is serving, they're often very content and healthy as a sheep. Like from a church perspective, or maybe our chapter is more, hey, I got to just do a lot of serving at home. Can't do much of the church right now. I can do a whole lot at home. I need to do a whole lot at home because there's just huge areas of service needed. And that's fine, however God leads us. And so effective serving, it's a key to our growth. In some area, workplace, home, whatever, we're serving. Or maybe a combination of that. And having a servant's heart no matter where we're at. That's a key to growth. Someone who never serves. It's like, I'm never going to serve. I'm either too good for that, or God can't use me. I'm worth nothing. It's like, that's not scriptural. The folks who don't serve at all tend to easily get critical. It's like, we're armchair people. It's like when I'm watching a football game, and it's like, the quarterback should have done that. And I'm an armchair person. It's like I got all these good ideas on what the team should have done. They never should have punted at this time or whatever. Remember the muffed punt? Or they should have. There's a whole bunch of things they could have done to not get destroyed by Michigan State in the final play. And there's a bunch of things they could have done to avoid that. And so those who don't serve at all, we become armchair people and very critical potentially. Or we become sort of lazy in our faith. I'm not serving. I'm just going to let entertainment go take place or whatever. I'm not going to get my hands dirty at all. I'm not going to somehow get more involved. So serving, it's a key to growth. And it's effective serving. It's not unhealthy serving. Unhealthy serving can invite pride. It's like, I've done this, so I've done that. I'm a pretty cool guy or gal, and I'm just... I've got all that, everyone's impressed by me, right? And it's like, that's not effective serving. It's inviting pride. Or ineffective serving can be inviting like resentment. I've done all this stuff. I've cleaned. I've done all these things. No one appreciates me. And I resent it because I've done all these things. And it's like, that's not healthy serving either. Healthy serving, it's a key to our growth because we're saying, Lord, I need you. I'm being directed by you. I need you to empower me. Lord, guide me. Help me to know what to take on, what to sort of put aside, set aside. And it's awesome because we sort of exercise. It's like getting good exercise. We get good exercise and get stronger as a believer. And then lastly, effective serving, it brings joy. There's something about being other-centered that is just really, really healthy. It's like, I am serving others. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm serving others. I'll have my own needs met, but I'm serving others. I'm putting my focus on serving others. And there's something really healthy about that. It gets our eyes off of ourselves, our suffering, our difficulties, and it puts our eyes on God and on other people. And that's where God wants it. There's times we have to take care of some issue we have at the same time. an attitude of serving gives us an other-centered kind of perspective, and that is very, very healthy. So personal application. Personal application regarding Jesus' washing. Have your sins been washed away by Jesus? If you're here or listening, have your sins been washed away by Jesus? They need to. He's the only one who took care of the sin problem of humanity. And if you're saying, boy, I don't know, I don't think they have, I don't know if they have, talk with one of us. We will talk with you and we will pray with you and help you to receive what Jesus has done on the cross for each one of us. And so also under Jesus' washing, does God want to use you to help someone else experience Jesus' washing? Does he want to use you to help a loved one, a family member, a coworker, to discover the need for the washing of Jesus? We have to be careful in some of our settings as far as what we share and how we share it. But at the same time, God wants us to share things in a way that would bring him glory, and it's in a way that's wise. And so does he want us to be part of the process of helping someone else experience the necessity of Jesus' washing? Now, regarding Jesus' serving, last set of questions. Are there areas of service the Lord is directing you to pursue? There's some kind of nudge or some kind of desire. And it's like, boy, I think he wants me to do such and such. Then I would encourage you to pray about it and explore it. You know, consider taking a step in that direction and seeing what God does with that. Does he give you excitement? Does he give you strength? Does he open up another door from that? Or is it like, boy, a door slammed shut or whatever? Is there an area of service that the Lord is directing you to transition out of? I've been doing this for 3 years or whatever, and somehow I think my time with that area of service is done. That's okay, because maybe God used that 3 years to prepare us for something else. Or maybe he's preparing someone else to take our place in a certain position or a certain responsibility as far as, again, whether it's serving in the church or serving in other contexts like the workplace or whatever. So areas of service, sometimes we have to be very careful because sometimes, you know, we have to remember he's orchestrating. And sometimes, we talked about at the first service, he's the one who opens doors and closes doors. And sometimes we see a bloody knuckled believer who's been knocking on a door and wants that door to open. And the knuckles are bloody and it's gross seeing that. And it's like, chill. Let God open the door. If he wants that path for you, let him open it. And sometimes people finally say, I'm going to stop banging on the door. And then guess what? Either that door opens up for the person, or there's a better door. And finally, our focus is more on God, and it's like, it's not on that door. And it's like, God, you've had another door all along for me, or you've been preparing another door for me. So let's not bloody our knuckles, and let's be under his lordship. So is he directing you to pursue something or even to transition out of something? And are you purposing to serve out of love? Love for God, love for people, not for brownie points or position or anything else. God can take care of the positions. He, like for us in our setting, the positions are granted as just a confirmation of what someone's already been doing. Pastor Robert has been Pastor Robert for really quite some time. We're just calling him that now. And that's because he's been serving for so long and he's had a heart for other people and he's learned how to teach the word and he's gifted by God in so many areas. So it's just neat to see that over time. And so the title comes as a result, not as something to pursue as much or to try to make happen. So are you purposing to serve out of love? And then lastly, are you purposing to serve in reliance on the Holy Spirit? If we're not relying on the Holy Spirit, we get burned out. We get resentful. We just get, oh, woe is me. And let's make sure we're relying on the Holy Spirit who gives us tons of strength. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time and your word. And I thank you for your washing. Lord, your blood that was shed for us. And Lord, it continues to clean us also. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you for your example of serving, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us to be servants, Lord, and effective servants and healthy servants. Lord, led by you, you orchestrating and you empowering. and you giving us the right motives and us being open to that. And Lord, just cultivating your glory and just seeing you lift it up. And so I pray that you'd lead us, open doors, closed doors, and whatever you want to do in our lives, we stand before you, a venture of faith for us as a church, for us individually, our families. I pray, Father, for you to lead each one of us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.